The gospel lesson for the second Sunday in Lent is found in Mark chapter 9, reading verses 2 through 9. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. The transfiguration of Jesus is a unique event. It is a supernatural event in that it is outside of the natural or the everyday. We don't find events like this on every other page in Scripture. If you're familiar with this portion of the life of Jesus and those very few other instances, like Moses coming down from Mount Sinai with his countenance altered, perhaps your reaction to the transfiguration might be, "I wish I could have been there." I mean, after all, seeing Jesus in a glorified state, a demonstration of his true nature, as we imagine we will see him as he appears at the right hand of God the Father, that would be something else. Something supernatural. If you're not familiar with this event, perhaps the reaction is, "Wow, spectacular. Are we sure what happened? How come I never heard about this before?" It almost seems unfair that we can't have a heavenly glimpse too. But then we get to see very few, if any, miracles. The way we think of miracles, anyway. However, we're going to celebrate communion today. And there are some striking similarities between Jesus' transfiguration and communion, so much so that we, who didn't see the transfiguration, do not need to feel cheated. First, we read that Peter said the obvious. "It's good for us to be here." Peter went on to suggest that they take up some kind of semi-permanent residence on the mountain with Jesus and Moses and Elijah because it was such a marvel, who'd want to leave? Mark then explains that Peter was so scared and awed and overwhelmed that he really didn't know what to say, so like all of us sometimes, he kept on talking. Well, he was right about it being good to be there. The disciples remembered the Old Testament connections. Moses on Mount Sinai, coming down with the tablets in a glorified state, transfigured. They received a powerful validation that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the Christ. And then Moses, the embodiment of the law, with Elijah, the symbol of all the prophets, none of that was lost either. Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. They got it. And it was good for them to be here. Just like it's good for you and I to be here at communion. where we can see Jesus as all that he is in his glory as God defines it. Now, just in case you weren't paying attention during the children's sermon, when your children ask you, what do you see? You know. He is the bread, the body broken for us. He is the cup, the blood poured out for us, for our salvation. That's what we see at the table. And that's how he wants us to see him and understand him and literally take him in hand and benefit from him. This is grace, not a funeral for Jesus. Jesus told us to do this way, and here we see him as he wants to be seen. It is indeed another kind of transfiguration. The Lord's Supper is an encounter with Christ as much as the transfiguration was for Peter and James and John. And if that wasn't enough, God the Father spoke to the disciples in a way that they could not help but understand. The cloud, the Shekinah in Hebrew, is translated the glory of the Lord. And you read about that in the Old Testament. The cloud that went before the children of Israel during the Exodus. The cloud, the Shekinah, that descended on the tabernacle when God was present. The people recognized it. So did the disciples. And they knew full well who was speaking and saying, "This is my beloved Son, whom I love. Listen to him." God's presence enveloped them, and they listened. Take note. Jesus, the Son of God, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, was seen by the disciples as who he really is. So at communion, we see Jesus as he really is, the sacrifice, the broken body, the shed blood, the Savior, as the fulfillment of God's gracious gospel, which the law, Moses, demanded, and the prophets, Elijah, foretold. And we see him alive, communing with us. "Do this," he said, "until I come." As we listen to God, who spoke through his Son, Jesus, we will do this not only in remembrance of him, but also in communion with him as we wait for his return. It is, after all, the only way to deal with the demands of the law and the promises of the prophets. At the transfiguration and at the table, God speaks, and we're invited to listen. And if we listen, if we're going to, we, like the disciples, are invited to obey. At the transfiguration, they were told to keep quiet about it. I mean, who is going to believe it anyway? Without the demonstration, the confirmation, the resurrection. And now we know why this is a part of Lent, pointing to Easter. That was to be shared as another witness of to who and what Jesus was and is, the Lord of life and the King of glory. And the disciples listened and they obeyed. And now it's our turn to do exactly the same thing. But it's after the resurrection. And we are invited now to tell everybody everything. Transfiguration, communion, salvation, forgiveness, eternal life, here and now, there and then, heaven and forever. And that now is followed by how? The first answer is not missions, evangelism, outreach. That comes later. The obvious answer is a question. How will people know that we have been with Jesus, with him at the table, and experienced his presence at communion. How will we tell everyone? With our lives, like the disciples. With our words, like the disciples. With the results, like the disciples. But how do we do that? Like the disciples, we have been with Christ, we have seen his glory, we have heard God speak, and now we have to tell everybody. So of course that means missions and evangelism and outreach. We, the church, exist for those outside the church. And we do spend a lot of time and money and effort on just that. But tomorrow, will our co-workers know by our countenance? That's the Bible word for manner, behavior, attitude, outlook. Will they know we've been with Christ? Will our family be reminded and renewed because we have been reminded and renewed because at the table we have been with Jesus? The answer depends on whether or not we learn from the Transfiguration how to understand the communion we call the Lord's Supper. Communion is like the Transfiguration. Amen. Let us pray. Send your Spirit among us, O God, as we meditate this Lent and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Prepare our minds to hear your word. Move our hearts to accept what we hear. And purify our wills to obey in joy and faith. We ask all this for Jesus' sake and ours. Amen.